Hello and welcome to you all to Cross Cultural Chapel 2013 of Guatemala and Colombia. We're really happy to be here and to share with you guys just a glimpse into some of the experiences we had this past semester.
What you just saw and heard was something many of us experienced on a daily basis on our commute to Casas, where we had our Spanish classes, riding the public bus. So this is pretty accurate. It's almost kind of spacey. But lots of people trying to sell us things, lots of people yelling at us for the first 2 months, not knowing what they were saying. And so the bus was something that we had a lot of good experiences with and a lot of interesting types of experiences with, so we'd like to share some of those with you now.
So there were always things happening on the bus every morning, but one morning I got to see something that was especially funny. Bus is really full, so there's a guy in the door. He's leaning out, and we come to a stop, and he sees someone that he doesn't like walking down the street, so he reaches out and punches him. And then he turns around to like give him the eye, and the bus starts moving, and when he turns back around, there's a pole. He smacked his head on it. So he didn't die or anything, but I got a good laugh out of it.
And one of my finer moments on Cross Cultural, I attempted to take a picture of one of these public buses because I was convinced there's no other way just to describe exactly how crowded they are. So I tried to take a picture with my camera without anyone noticing, and then I waded through the sea of people, and I felt a small tug in my pocket, and so turned around and saw a man sprinting away on the sidewalk with my camera in his hand.
And it's also important to keep in mind that the buses aren't all just funny or just scary. My first week, I was riding home in a microboost, which is just a van that they fill 25-some people in. And I was on my way home, it's one of the first times, and there wasn't really room on the van, so I curled up in a ball and kind of sat on the floor. And next to me is the open van door, because they just stay open all the time. And if you've driven with people in Guatemala, it's not like here, and so there's zooming corners and it's really fast, and I was kind of worried about flying out. So we were starting out, and all of a sudden I felt various hands go on my shoulders. And I didn't really know which hands went to which bodies, but I felt safe and was confident I wouldn't fly out.
All right, we're going to be sharing some statistics about our trip this semester. Two cameras were stolen while we were in Guatemala, and you just witnessed one. And one of them was lost on one of our hikes of a volcano.
Number of cat calls received by our group, undetermined.
But the record holder was Everett.
Record of most water consumed in 1 week, Colt with 21 liters.
Number of pictures taken by a group, we can't really get an accurate count, but it was easily over 10,000.
Most people counted on one bus in Guatemala City, 250.
Number of hours we spent in Spanish class this semester, 140.
So Spanish was a really big part of our trip for everyone. We spent 8 weeks taking classes in Guatemala City with an organization called CASAS, forming really special bonds with all those hours, 3.5 hours a day of Spanish classes with our teachers and our classmates. But we also received six Spanish credits for our efforts. And we just want to give some glimpses into an average day in each of our Spanish classes.
Hola, chicos.
Hola, maestra.
Guys, I brought my dictionary of bad words.
Oh, yeah, let's check it out. Hey, guys, look, it's the hookup chapter.
Okay, I really want to work on this composition, but you see, teacher, I have this thing where I don't focus if I don't have soup bread every single day.
Tango hombre.
Rebecca, do you understand what she's saying?
Ah, sí, 6 puntos. Ah, sí, 10 puntos. Un punto. No hay justicia.
Can we go sit in the sun? It's so hot outside.
Maestra, mi corazón late por ti.
Puchica.
Ya terminamos la gramática.
Entonces, vamos a jugar Dutch Blitz.
Sí, Dutch Blitz. Ahorita, ahorita.
Our group bought a total of 49 pounds of coffee,
which is the maximum amount one suitcase is allowed to weigh on an airplane.
Number of street DVDs purchased by our group, 64.
5 people celebrated their birthday on the trip, including our 2 leaders, Ann and Jim.
5 people spent at least one night in a hammock.
Our group visited a total of 5 countries, if you include 3 plane layovers in Panama and all of our free travel adventures.
Number of new Guatemalan family members, 118.
So one thing that makes the Guatemala cross-cultural really unique is our long stay with host families. During our time in Guatemala City, we each stayed with our own host family for 9 weeks. This is probably what I was most worried about before we went, with like not speaking the same language and just overall awkwardness with new people. I can't speak for everyone, but by the end of the trip, I felt really close to my host family, and staying with them was one of my favorite parts of cross-cultural. It was really nice to know that I had a place to belong in Guatemala. So now we're going to show you a little bit about host family life.
Welcome, everyone, to Family Feud, host family edition. We're going to do a couple rounds here of Family Feud. Nevin, Jason, let's play. We surveyed 100 cross-cultural students that went to Guatemala. Top 5 answers on the board. What is one common food you ate with your host family?
Beans.
Beans, survey says. Beans, beans. Player pass. Playing, okay. Welcome, Christina. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. All right, we've got 5 answers up here. We need one more common food.
Plantains.
Plantains, survey says. Plantains. Landon, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, your family here got 2 of these questions. We need one more common food with host families.
Tortillas.
Tortillas, survey says. Tortillas are up there. All right, Lonnie, we've got 3 here. We need 2 more. Give me one common food with the host family.
Gonna have to go with eggs.
Eggs, survey says.
Eggs.
Eggs it is. Abby, got 1 more here. We need the last common food with host families.
Oh, there's so many. I gotta go with coffee.
Coffee, survey says. Coffee it is. One host family. Next round, Christina, Carla. We surveyed 100 cross-cultural students that went to Guatemala. Top 5 answers on the board. Give me one common activity you did with your host family.
Awkwardly trying to communicate with your family members.
Awkwardly trying to communicate with your family members, survey says. Yay! Ace up there. You get a player pass?
Play.
We're playing, okay. Hello, Carmen, how are you?
Doing good, how are you?
Use the mic, Carmen. it's a big chapel. All right, Carmen, we need one common activity done with host families.
I'd have to say playing soccer.
Playing soccer. Is playing soccer up there?
Yeah.
Soccer is up there. Well done. Emily, welcome. We need one common activity done with host families.
Comparing ourselves with their past host students.
Oh, that legendary host student. Is it up there? It is indeed. Jason, welcome. Your family here has 3. We need 2 more. Give me one common activity done with host families.
Watching telenovelas and other movies.
Ooh, telenovelas, is it up there? Survey says. Yeah, the TV's up there. Christopher Bates, your family has 4 here. You need 1 more to win it. Give me one common activity with your host family.
Quetzal?
Oh, no. Give him the X.
That's a bird.
It's a currency.
That's all right.
Carly, you've got 1 X. You need 1 more here, and you can win it. Give me one uncommon activity with the host family.
Spanish mass.
Mass. We can go with mass. Mass up there? Yay! It is indeed. Yeah. Final round. Landon, Emily, let's play.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we surveyed 100 cross-cultural students that went to Guatemala. Top 5 answers on the board. What is one thing you're going to miss about your host family?
Oh, my goodness.
Family bonding.
Family bonding, survey says. Family bonding's up there. You going to play? Who's playing?
I'm playing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because we're here. All right, Lonnie. I do one thing you're going to miss about your host family.
My siblings and our dogs.
Siblings and dogs is up there. Survey says yes. All right, Abby, your family's got 2. We need 3 more here. What's one thing you're going to miss about your host family?
Playing games.
Games. Is games up there? It is indeed. 2 more here. Nevin, we need 1 more thing you're going to miss about your family.
They made me laugh a lot.
Okay, laughter. Survey says. Yeah. Laughter is up there. Christina, for the win, we need 1 more thing you're going to miss about your host family. Early bedtime, survey says. It is up there. We have a winner. Thank you for playing Family Feud.
Number of chairs that Landon broke on this trip? 3. Number of people who had diarrhea at least once, if not more. Raise your hands. Number of people who did not have diarrhea at all. Speaking of sickness, the record holders for being sick the most are Becca and Chris. And Becca's actually not here today because she's sick. Number of people who came home with a Chaco, Tiva, or Sandal Tan. The amount of money our group spent on Pan Dulce, if we're honest, it's probably around $500. The amount spent by Andrew and Jason alone, around $350. Other common things we spent our money on were Choco Bananos, Licuados, street food. We like street food a lot. Number of Quetzal spotted? 0. So another really valuable part of our cross-cultural experience was connecting and interacting with the people that we met along the way, whether it was just through spur-of-the-moment conversation with the man sitting in the same bus seat or through a service learning week with a long-term service volunteer. This was especially exciting and achievable as our Spanish skills improved and we were able to converse with more and more people more easily. For me, the times throughout the semester that we broke down in smaller groups and traveled together were really neat opportunities to connect with the people we met more personally. It was meeting these people that really made the experience real and brought it home to us. I think that those connections are what challenged us to keep cross-cultural alive and figure out what to do next with what we've learned this semester.
Buenos dias. For those of you who know me, my name is Afton Vanderwalker. And for those of you who don't know me, well, that's a shame. But it's still Afton Vanderwalker, daughter of Tim and Betsy Vanderwalker, Tamara and Alan Hatch, and daughter of the Guatemalan Moratalla family and Quevedo family. Today I've been asked to share a brief insight into my faith journey this semester. First, to give a little background context, I'd like to say that I grew up going to church and Sunday school, and I even got fairly involved in my local youth group. But as time went on, I slipped out of the church, getting bored and getting busy. And then I chose EMU. Why? Well, I guess God had plans for me. I went into this cross-cultural very reluctantly. I didn't want to leave what was comfortable and familiar. The attitude that I carried was one of counting the days that remained and praying a routine prayer asking for our return to come quickly. And then we got to a place called Santiago Atitlan in Guatemala. In retrospect, I'd like to say that that's where God pulled the blinders off of my eyes and allowed me to live in the moment and accept that I was in Latin America, not in the US. But the reality at the time was that I didn't even know if God existed. It was a time of great confusion, frustration, anger, and sadness. But fast forwarding a little bit, I found myself receiving this call from God. What do I mean when I say that? Well, I felt like I had to go to this place called La Limonada. If you read our blog, you should read our blog. You may remember a post from me, a post that scared my parents half to death. Why? La Limonada is part of Guatemala City, considered a zona roja by the Guatemalan government and an uninhabitable place that leaves a bad taste in your mouth by the Guatemalan people. Made up of 10 barrios, each run by rival gangs, it serves as a border between zones 1 and 5, and it houses roughly 60,000 people in an area 1 mile by half a mile. It's the largest urban slum in Central America. The people who live there face many challenges, including lack of education and job opportunities, spiritual darkness, unsustainable living conditions, no running water, no electricity, and a stigma of living in a subculture of extreme poverty that leads to illegal activity and a culture of fear. Anyways, I went, I saw, and I returned unscathed. Perhaps the act of electing to go to a place like La Limonada alone during our free travel week is why my classmates think I'm worthy to stand at this pulpit and tell my story. But I believe that responding to that call from God confused me all the more. The hype of responding before actually making it to the community may make me look like I have this faith thing figured out. But when I actually went, my week was quite the opposite. I felt lost, useless, and I was left questioning, why am I here? That brings me to today. Why am I here? Well, I don't really know. And what do I want to do with my life? I don't know. But I cling to the verse Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. My faith journey this semester has actually left me with more questions. But the thing is, it's okay for me not to know, because God does. And how would I have figured that out if I wouldn't have gone on this wild journey, Guatemala, Colombia, cross-cultural, spring 2013?
We did a lot on cross-cultural, and I'm sure that if you ask anyone in our group, and even probably other cross-cultural groups, they will say that human relationships and connections was one of the most significant aspects of the experience. We created and grew relationships within the group by spending the time together, taking on the challenges together, and sharing the beauty together. We created relationships with other teachers and staff at CASAS and with people during our service week in Colombia. We also created relationships with strangers that we met during the week of free travel. And for me personally, one of the most significant times of the cross-cultural was the service week in Colombia. Chris and I, my roommate from last year, went to a barrio outside of Bogota, and we lived with a local family who has a feeding center out of their house. And before we went, I had some apprehensions about how much we would connect with people and how helpful we would be. But when we got there, it turned out that they were really glad that we were there to learn and listen to their stories and understand a little bit of the context in which they live. It didn't matter that we didn't have a specific goal to accomplish or we were bringing some important set of skills to help them out and get them on their feet. The community was very tight and very strong and efficient, but they were really happy to share their stories with us. Most of the people had been displaced by violence from other parts of the country, and we interviewed lots of people, and they were very open with us and very excited to share their stories and their suffering to people who came just to show that we cared about them. And so that was the deepest part of the human connections for me, I think, was getting to know some context and hear people's stories and connect with them on a human level, despite the fact that we don't have a whole lot of common ground, us coming down from the United States to meet them. But it was a very real human experience. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Abigail Carr. And as Zach said, we saw a lot of beautiful things and related to a lot of people. But there was also a lot of hurt and pain that we saw in these cities that we visited. And so that led me to write this poem called Perspectives that sort of compare and contrast the beauty with the pain and how similar we really all are. What can you see from way up high? Up on the mountain, do you feel you can fly? Living is simple, breathing is easy. Flames light up the skyline as the people stand tall in their camps of success and society, sparks igniting. We have everything. What can you see from the depths of despair? Down in the ravine, will you ever breathe clean air? Living every day is harder than death. Hope. We don't think about how this is the place where it's forgotten or it dies. The stench of fear and sadness goes so deep that scrubbing at skeletal bones doesn't rid us of it. We have nothing. But this is our curse. This is our mask. Put a costume and mask on a skeleton and set it up on the hill. With enough time, the world will point and say, "See their success. They've been on high for so long, they must have it all." We are observers of all, actors of nothing, dead inside. But we are blessed through it all. We have nowhere to go but up. God has forgotten us. God knows our pain and plight. I wish we would stop burning and fall so that we could rebuild and redefine ourselves. I don't want a simple answer. I want someone to teach me the way up. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Mark 6:31. Then Jesus said, "Let us go to a place where we can be alone and get some rest."
We're going to sing "I Bind My Heart," number, what is that, 411? 411 in the hymnal. It's a song that we sing throughout the cross-cultural, partially because it's just beautiful musically, and also because we found that the lyrics seem to wind their way through the cross-cultural as well, and there's some really powerful imagery there. So we're going to sing the first verse, just the group here, and we invite you to join us on the second, third, and fourth verse.
As you may have heard, our esteemed leaders were Jim and Ann Hirschberger. So far they've led 5-semester-long cross-culturals to Central America and 1-semester-long to Central America and Colombia, which is ours. And they've also led several 3-to-4-week cross-culturals to Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Honduras and one other. They've also lived for 10 years in Nicaragua at different times since 1976. Jim is the director of the Church World Service Refugee Resettlement Office in Harrisonburg. And Anne is the co-director of the Master's in Nursing Leadership Program and is also a nursing professor.
I cannot emphasize enough how brilliant and loving our leaders were. They led our team with both firmness and patience, wise perspective and respect for all of us and everyone we met, all wrapped up in honesty and a deep love for adventure. As our history teacher, Jim taught with unmistakable passion for the subject and has an infectious love for learning and search for knowledge. Anne was a constant flow of encouragement, energy, and vibrance. She has the glorious ability to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want, and I can assure you her advice was always solid. We all felt throughout the trip that there was never a situation we couldn't go to them about or an issue we couldn't ask for their help in addressing. They loved us all individually and uniquely, truly being the leaders everyone hopes for but rarely has the chance to have. I think I speak for all 24 of us when I say that Anne and Jim contributed hugely to the loveliness of our experience abroad. We have a small gift for you from all of us. Thank you all so much for attending our chapel. We really appreciate you giving the time to us to share in our adventures. We have a slideshow playing, but you're all, I believe, dismissed for whatever else you have going on. Thank you.